Hey there, it's Lars. Thanks for checking out the Lars Larson podcasting experience, and have a fantastic day.
You mentioned that from your very first meeting with the president, you decided to write a memo memorializing the conversation. What was it about that very first meeting that made you write a memo when you had not done that with two previous presidents?
As I said, a combination of things. A gut feeling is an important overlay on but the circumstances that I was alone, the subject matter, and the nature of the person that I was interacting with, and my read of that person. And really just a gut feel laying on top of all of that, that this, it's going to be important to protect this organization, that I make records of this.
So he works for three different presidents, and with two of them, he doesn't take notes after every meeting. But with Donald Trump, from the very first meeting, I had to take notes. I had to make sure that I recorded everything that was said, because I wanted to make sure that I could go back and say, that's what he told me to do. That is James Comey, the fired former director of the FBI, describing why he took notes and memorialized, as they say, all of his conversations with Donald Trump, because he had a gut feel about the guy. Apparently, his gut also told him that Donald Trump was trying to get him to drop the investigation of General Michael Flynn, even though he admitted Donald Trump never said that to him. But apparently he has this powerful intuition that wasn't powerful enough to incentivize him to go to his boss or the White House counsel and say, I think the president's up to no good. But he certainly had the power to leak to the New York Times as soon as he got fired from his job. All of this stinks to high heaven. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to have you with me all over the Pacific Northwest on the Radio Northwest Network, and glad to take your calls as well. Naysayers go first at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Let's go to Marco, who's a naysayer. Marco, welcome to the program. Where do you and I disagree?
Well, I think... aren't you being a little bit partisan yourself?
I'm always partisan. This is an opinion show. If you tuned in expecting to hear me not give an opinion, there's nothing more useless on planet Earth. Maybe a screen door in a submarine would be comparable than a talk show host without an opinion.
Well, I think you could have an opinion, but what is it based on? I mean,
facts, logic, and the law, and the Constitution. Those are the things I base things on.
The background of Trump compared to Mr. Comey. Let's look at Trump's background, and let's look at Comey's. And why would you believe this is just a matter of him versus him? This is a private, they're sitting in a private room on a couple different occasions. Of course Comey is upset. Of course he's shook up. He's got a president that's making some kind of insinuations about him not doing his job, in my mind.
Well, he wasn't doing his job. I mean, I'll make my case. You ask me, how do I make up my mind? So let me make the case for you. Hillary Clinton breaks the law. James Comey, as FBI director, causes an investigation of her. He finds that she has broken the law, that she's destroyed records. That's a crime. It's a misdemeanor, but it's a crime. She's moved classified information out of secure computers into unsecured computers. That is also a crime. That's a felony. He then goes on national television and announces she did all this stuff, but she can't be prosecuted. Now, fast forward to Donald Trump. A year of investigation into the Russia allegation. Everybody on the left has admitted at this point, we haven't found anything after a year, but we have to keep looking. It's like a giant snipe hunt where you go out in the woods with a plastic bag and try to catch the mythical snipe. And the longer you look, the more you have to look, but you don't find anything. So why is it that I believe that he is being partisan? Because he went out and provided cover for Hillary Clinton. He's supposed to be a lawman. His boss, the attorney general at the time, Loretta Lynch, calls him up and he says, I have to do a criminal investigation. Yes. Hold on. I have to do a criminal investigation of her. And she says, that's fine. Just don't call it a criminal investigation. He said it made him feel queasy, but he went ahead and did that anyway and provided cover for a woman in the middle of a presidential campaign when the announcement of an FBI criminal investigation of Hillary Clinton could have done serious damage to her. He chose not to do it because his boss, the very partisan Loretta Lynch, said, don't call it a criminal investigation. That's what he testified today. Do you think
aren't you missing the fast forward? Didn't you miss one thing in the fast forward?
Tell me what I missed, because I want to put it in.
Well, do you remember when Comey came out right before the election and started, it didn't really help Hillary at all, reopen an investigation?
You're talking about the emails that they missed the first time around that they found on the pervert Anthony Weiner's computer?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, you can't ignore the fact that the guy's now a convicted criminal.
The baboon and everybody.
No, he's a sexual. Look, you ask me how I make decisions. I make them on the facts. Is Anthony Weiner a sexual criminal?
Okay, I didn't want to go into...
Where it is. When you find out that the Secretary of State of the United States, Hillary Clinton at the time, has sent classified emails to an assistant, Huma Abedin, who then sends them to the computer held by her pervert husband, who's sending pictures of his privates to co-eds on the West Coast. All I'm suggesting is, do you think that classified data on the computer of a guy who's obviously out on the internet in places he shouldn't have been puts those documents at risk? Does it or not? Does it or not?
It's a him versus him.
What's the him versus him? Tell me what the him versus him is.
And Comey in a room talking to each other. And there's no record of it. Nobody recorded it. At least he took some notes. I don't know if Trump can write. Maybe he didn't. So
why is it you go after me for ad hominem attacks, and that's an ad hominem attack? I don't know if Donald...
Because I'm finally doing it, because that's all you're doing.
I'm not. Well, look, I'm telling you that when you bring up the additional investigation, you brought it up in October. That was an investigation because apparently the FBI, in its huge investigation of Hillary Clinton, had forgotten to check the computer owned by her right-hand person, Huma Abedin, which was in her apartment.
And who announced that? Who was it that announced that and probably tilted the election right before the election?
How did that? Do you know a single person you know, since you and I probably disagree politically, you're probably left, I'm certainly to the right. Do you know a single person who said, because I heard about those emails on Hillary Clinton's assistant's computer in the home of Anthony Weiner and Huma Abedin, I'm changing my vote? Do you know one person?
Yes, I know two or three, but what it did is...
You're telling me these were people who said, up till October, I'm going to vote for Hillary, and as soon as they heard about that, they said, no, I'm voting for Trump.
No, it was a slow burn. It's like people were like, well, I don't really like her that well, and then that put them...
Hold on. Before the computer of Anthony Weiner came to FBI attention, there are lots of Democrats who didn't like Hillary Clinton. Why do you think Bernie Sanders was so successful?
Okay, well, we're going in. I didn't call about this, but you flipped it all around.
All right, bring it back to where you wanted to go.
I was going into the character of James Comey, which is pretty impeccable.
No, I don't think so. I mean, when he agrees to provide cover for somebody under criminal investigation, don't you think every person in America who's ever come under criminal investigation would like the police to have said, we're looking into a boo-boo by Lars Larson? I've never been under a criminal investigation. I think I never will be. But if they did that, I would prefer if the police and the media all said it's the FBI is looking into a Lars Larson boo-boo instead of a Lars Larson criminal investigation. Don't you think every criminal would like that treatment?
Well, again, you're not listening to my argument.
I am, because the character of a man who would agree to provide cover for a person.
You're unbelievable.
Well, no. Why is that unbelievable?
You're speaking of one particular.
Yes.
You have one
particular
thought.
Yeah. But here's the thing, Marco.
End of his career.
Marco, sometimes the one thing you do in a critical situation. So you have a situation that has, to my knowledge, has never occurred before, that a presidential candidate is under FBI investigation during the campaign. To my knowledge, that has never happened before. And the FBI director, in those unique circumstances, this man of character you're talking about, says, okay, boss, I'll just call it a matter instead of an investigation because I don't want this to adversely affect Hillary Clinton as she runs for president. What do you think of the character of the person who essentially agrees to lie to the public?
Absolutely nothing.
Why?
He had to get what he had. So he's going to... it's a matter versus an investigation. Is that all you have?
Yeah, no, it's not. I can give you 50 other things. I can give you 50 other things to think about.
Oh, whatever. Let's compare Comey and Mr. Trump on their histories.
Let's do it.
Who's a liar? Who actually gets on his phone and puts out lies?
What instance are you talking about?
Okay, I'm leaving you with that thought.
No, what instance are you talking about? What lie? What is your favorite lie told by Donald Trump? I love it when people call Trump a liar.
It's a wonderful debate tool.
No, but tell me, if you're going to accuse the guy of being a liar, tell me what lie he told.
We're stuck with a clown for maybe a couple years till he gets impeached. And I'll leave you with those thoughts. It's been good talking to you.
Thank you, Marco. Back in just a moment. You've got the Lars Larson Show.
The Clinton campaign at the time was using all kinds of euphemisms, security review matters, things like that, for what was going on. We were getting to a place where the Attorney General and I were both going to have to testify and talk publicly about it. And I wanted to know, was she going to authorize us to confirm we had an investigation? And she said, yes, but don't call it that. Call it a matter. And I said, why would I do that? And she said, just call it a matter. And again, you look back in hindsight, you think, should I have resisted harder? I just said, all right, this isn't a hill worth dying on. And so I just said, okay, the press is going to completely ignore it. And that's what happened. When I said, we have opened a matter, they all reported the FBI has an investigation open. And so that concerned me because that language tracked the way the campaign was talking about the FBI's work.
Gee, what a surprise. James Comey's language tracked with the Democrat Party campaign for Hillary Clinton. And then, of course, when it came to serving an American president like Trump, he decided from his very first meeting, I will write everything down he says and what I say because I'm worried that he will lie about me. Does that show a little bit of a difference of point of view between what James Comey thought of Hillary Clinton and what James Comey thought of the current president? Let's go to Carlos, who's a naysayer from Lafayette. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the Lars Larson Show.
Hi, Lars. I've been voting Republican since 1984. I'm a fairly conservative individual. However, Donald Trump was the very first and the only candidate that almost changed my mind on that matter, and it was strictly due to Comey's comments on Hillary Clinton. I just cannot imagine voting for somebody that spent 18-plus years being a guest on the Howard Stern show.
So hold on. I don't understand. First of all, you said you changed your vote because of what the FBI director said about Hillary Clinton. And then you said it had more to do with your radio listening habits.
I was going to vote for Hillary Clinton for the first time in my life. I was going to put a Democrat vote. I just couldn't come to grips to vote for somebody such as like Donald Trump.
Well, why? Can you tell me what most offended you about candidate Trump?
Oh, my Lord. Just the fact that he spent 18 years with Howard Stern alone on that matter.
Why does that matter? Why does that matter?
There are lots of politicians who go on lots of different shows. Howard.
No, but hold on.
Howard Stern goes.
Okay, you know what? I think Carlos is a Stern fan who just wants to give Stern a lot of publicity. I don't understand how you could change your vote based on going on somebody's radio show. Would one of you voters hold it against a candidate if they came on my radio show? For example, would a dyed-in-the-wool Kate Brown supporter change their vote for Governor Kate Brown or Jay Inslee if they were to come on this radio show? Let's go to Brooks, who's calling in from Hillsboro. Hey, Brooks, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Lars, I had a question for you concerning the Comey thing.
Sure.
So, hear me out before you answer, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Thank you. Comey didn't need to do what he did when he came before Congress and said we've reopened the investigation or we have new information, basically when Wiener's information came out. Comey didn't have to go public and say, hey, this is what's going on, but he did, even though he knew it would damage Hillary Clinton. So if he's so partisan, why would he do that when he didn't have to, especially when he was disobeying, from what I understand, Loretta Lynch at the time?
Actually, if you listened to his testimony today, did you?
I listened to parts of it.
Okay. I listened to almost all of it. He actually contradicts what you're saying, and I'll tell you why. He said that, and he referred to this as the boomerang. He said they weigh very typically the FBI does not comment. If you called the FBI right now and said, is Lars Larson under investigation? They say we do not comment on whether somebody is or is not under investigation. So Comey's and I think they're right to do that. Otherwise, there'd be this constant flow of the FBI is or isn't investigating someone. So they just don't say. But they say in certain high profile cases. And I agree with them to some extent. It's important for the FBI to say we are investigating here on issues as big as the one involving Hillary Clinton and probably the one involving Michael Flynn. So what Comey referred to in his testimony today as the boomerang effect is once you decide to come out and announce, as he did, that the Hillary Clinton investigation is over and they've concluded that there's nothing to be prosecuted there, which he did back in the summer, that when they then found new information in October, Comey referred to this several times in his testimony today. That's the boomerang effect, where once you've decided to stake out the position of saying she's out, not under investigation anymore, then when the investigation gets reopened by new info, you then kind of have to come out and tell the public, by the way, that investigation we told you earlier this summer was closed. We've had to reopen it because we found new things. In this case, the emails on Huma Abedin and Anthony Weiner's computer. So when you say he didn't have to do it, Comey himself said he had to do it because he had already told the public she's done or they're done with the investigation of her. So when they reopened it, he felt it was incumbent on him to say, no, we've reopened it. So he did have to do
it. So he felt it was incumbent, but there were lots of people who thought that he really didn't have to.
Right? You mean Democrats?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I'm just saying that they thought, oh, it's no big deal. I mean, but it shouldn't because... Do you think it's a big deal that classified information was sent to a computer in the hands of now a convicted pervert?
Well, of course I do. But the point that I'm trying to make is that Comey eviscerated Clinton when he didn't have to.
No, he didn't. He didn't eviscerate Clinton. He really...
I think the truth is that he's not saying these things and doing these things to Trump because he's partisan. He's proven that he's not partisan. He's doing these things because he knows that Trump is a liar.
I think your proof is a little on the weak side, but thanks for the call. You've got the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to get your phone calls and your emails at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. You can always, go to my Facebook page, The Lars Larson Show. Follow on Twitter at Lars Larson Show. And, of course, it's always wonderful to welcome back to the program Ron Hosko, who is president of the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund and former assistant director of the FBI. Ron, good to have you back.
Hey, it's good to talk to you, Lars.
So I watched James Comey's testimony today, and I found a bunch of surprises in there that I don't think the left-wing media shares, my feeling that they're surprises. But this is a guy who testified that when he talked to the president the very first time, he took notes because he thought that the president would lie to him. And there were a number of other things that surprised me about his testimony, but I wanted to get your take on it as well.
Well, that part is very, very troubling. You know that what drove the director to that conclusion? I think we would like to hear some more. I certainly would on what led him to that conclusion that he was, expecting that the president of the United States would lie to him. I thought that the director's testimony, the manner in which he presented it, came off as very somber. I really don't think this is a place where Jim Comey ever thought he would end up or a place that he would like to be. Certainly heard those comments early on about essentially apologizing to the FBI workforce that he was there today and in this situation, one that he, I don't think really appreciate.
What do you think about the fact that back in May, not that long ago, a month ago, Comey had testified to the Congress that he never acted as an anonymous source for the media about the Russia probe or anything else. And he had also testified previously that he had never authorized anyone else to speak on his behalf. But after he was let go, he told the committee today that he had used an anonymous source or authorized somebody to, leak a memo on his behalf to the New York Times.
Troubled, as I think many are, about leaks in government and leaks for a political purpose. I don't think there should be a place for them in government. We do owe government workers owe a duty of loyalty to, and certainly swear an oath to, the Constitution of the United States. And so I think those politically driven leaks are very, very concerning. And in most cases, if it's sensitive information, if it's a classic leak that is sensitive or secret or top secret information, the government ought to vigorously try to find it, ferret it out, and prosecute those people involved. Here, I think you will find that Jim Comey's view was that what he was leaking about was something that he suspected was potentially a crime, and that crime might be obstruction of justice, and he is now leaving that in the hands of Bob Mueller to determine.
Although when he was asked about whether or not he was asked to obstruct justice, he said no, and here's the concern I have. You and I have talked before about classified info. Some of it is documents that have a marking on it that indicates it's classified. Some of it is just classified by its very nature. So James Comey has meetings with the President of the United States. He sits down and writes memos about what was said by both the president and himself. Would you think that that's the kind of thing that should be leaked out, and that conversations with the president, with a member of his administration, are the kinds of things that should not be leaked?
Yeah, generally speaking, that is the sort of thing that I think should not be leaked. That those private conversations, particularly when you're talking about potentially policy deliberations, those ought to be. And I know there's been a fair amount of discussion about executive privilege and when it can be invoked, and when it will be sustained by a court. Certainly, you know, I think the courts have found that if you're talking about conversations that amount to a crime, or relate to a crime, or certainly covering up a crime, I don't think courts in America are going to protect those as executive privilege. But I think broadly, I agree with you that these sorts of deliberative conversations and engagements are things that ought not to be leaked. The distinction here is potentially is what Jim Comey perceived. Were they the steps that were the initial steps of a crime that were culminated actually in his termination?
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Ron, and I'm talking to Ron Hosko from the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund, former assistant director of the FBI. When you were in the FBI, if I told you a lie and you were investigating a crime, and I lied to you on some substantive matter, I've committed a crime by telling that lie, right?
Yeah, very frequently that's true. That's a statute. It's 18, title 18 U.S. Code, section 1001. And I'll tell you that I was a strong proponent of us adding that count, false statements to an FBI agent, if your misstatements to me were on a material matter.
Yeah,
they weren't merely a false exculpatory. I was looking always in my cases with the U.S. Attorney's Office to append that to a case. Very often it wasn't the substantive count. It didn't stand alone. You wanted another crime committed in conjunction with it. But, you know, those false statements, whether it is to Congress, whether it's on a background investigation form, and the truth is those are not always prosecuted. It depends on the context. But there were many of us, myself included, that were proponents of using that 1001 count, false statements, very strongly.
Well, and I am too. But let me ask you about this in terms of Flynn. I'm not the biggest fan of General Flynn, and he's now not in the Trump administration, you know, but. At the time the FBI talked to him, they had a transcript of everything he had said to the Russian ambassador. So they go to talk to General Flynn, and they know exactly what he said and what the Russian ambassador said back. They had the whole conversation. And apparently, according to Comey today, their criminal investigation of Flynn is for, you know, crimes of statements. And, you know, Comey referred to that a few times today, saying this is a criminal investigation regarding his statements. So the FBI has a transcript of the entire conversation that he and the Russian ambassador had, and then they go and talk to him and say, did you talk about this? Did you talk about that? Did this subject come up? Did that subject come up? And then they match what he said to what they already know he said. And if the two don't match, then you're a criminal. Is that right?
Well, that sounds, the way you put it, Lars, very much like a trap.
Like, it does sound like a trap when there's no underlying crime.
Well, is, you know, so the crime does become the false statement. And the question is, again, is it material? Are you merely giving the FBI false exculpatories? No, I don't recall it that way. And context is going to be important, because I think when Mike Flynn was making these calls as the, you know, the
NSA
new incoming national security advisor, that's right. You know, I think, I don't know the entirety of it, but I would assume that Mike Flynn was probably making a lot of calls to foreign government officials. And if that's true, and this is merely a memory failure, that's one thing. But if you're intentionally misleading me about the context of those calls, about the content of those calls,
right,
and you're doing that knowingly and intentionally, now you have a more serious problem.
Oh, I agree with you, but we won't know that until and unless the charges are ever brought. And if charges are never brought, then Flynn stays, I guess, under a cloud forever. And I'd point to the Scooter Libby case, where Libyans, and that was exactly what tripped up Libby, as I understand it, was he worked for George W. Bush. The issue came up about Valerie Plame's disclosure, the disclosure of Valerie Plame as supposedly a secret agent who drove out to Langley and parked her car in the parking lot every day. She wasn't exactly a secret agent, and who had released that information. And Scooter Libby got convicted of a crime. He's now been cleared of the crime, because I believe he never committed the crime. I know that if the FBI came to me and said, we'd like to talk to you about a conversation you had a couple of months ago with somebody, and they said, give us your version, and I gave them a version. And then they came back a month or two later and said, we've got a few more questions, and asked me, can you relate again what the conversation was? Ron, do you think there's any great likelihood that that all three would match up precisely? Or that I might be, you know, I might have forgotten to mention one thing or added in another detail somewhere else. It does sound a lot like a trap.
Oh, it is potentially a trap, Lars. And I think the point is, if you are deliberately creating the lie to tell to the FBI, and they're matching it up, and they find that you have intentionally lied and intended to mislead them, that is far more serious than, hey, this was one conversation in the middle of 50 that day. I don't recall the specifics of that conversation. I'm pretty sure I didn't make an offer to Kislyak to tell him, hey, look, we're going to relax these sanctions as soon as we get into office. But if you're intentionally creating a lie for that purpose to mislead, you have a problem.
What do you think about Comey's decision to go along with Loretta Lynch when she said, go ahead and announce that you're looking into Hillary Clinton, but call it a matter instead of what it was, a criminal investigation? And he went along with it.
Yeah, that's troubling to me. You know, look, the Jim Comey I know is the right magnetic compass, you know, the North Star is the North Star with this guy. And I'm concerned about that. And I think he alluded to in his testimony fairly early on his concerns about Loretta Lynch and information that the FBI, I believe, had and he had that they couldn't discuss in an open session today. I think there's more to that story that has not come out. He fell short of, you know, suggesting that he was ready to call for a special prosecutor in that case. And perhaps that's a mistake. Quite clearly, he wanted to acquit the FBI's effort and their investigation as being thorough, but had very serious concerns about the attorney general's ability to come to a prosecutive opinion on a case where he thought she might have had a conflict.
Well, you've worked with him before, Ron. I have not. But here's what I see from a distance. Hillary Clinton's under criminal investigation for crimes I think she committed, to wit, document destruction and moving classified data out of a secure computer into unsecure computers and even to her housekeeper, for God's sake. So he goes out and holds a news conference and announces to the world, we have looked into everything and she is not prosecutable. That's the sum of that news conference. And he does that at a very hot time in politics when she's seeking the Democrat nomination and then the presidency. He comes to work for Donald Trump and distrusts the guy from word go and says, I took notes on every meeting because I expected he would lie to me. And then when the president says, am I under investigation? And Comey tells him three times, no, you are not. And the president says, would you tell the country that? And he says, I don't want to do it. It finally leaks out later that the president's not under investigation. But when you look at it from a distance and you say, James Comey took an extraordinary effort to clear a presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, and would not go out and clear a president who he himself thought was clear of criminal investigation. Why the difference?
Well, I think he made reference to it, discussed it, you know, referred to it as his duty to correct. And I think we saw this play out with Hillary Clinton when at one point he did clear her. And I'm with you. Reasonable people can disagree on whether he should have. Right. I can read the statute like you can.
She's a crook.
But he got into this place about duty to correct. Something changed in October, and Jim Comey felt like he had a duty to correct the record by going back to Congress late in the election season to tell Congress something material had changed. And this is what he had feared with giving Donald Trump that same clearance, because in an ongoing investigation, what if something changes? Now he has in his mind the duty to correct the record with the public and say, the president had been cleared before, but that is no longer true. Now the president just gets a bigger problem, right?
Yep.
And so there is that tension there. And look, these are the high wire acts that government officials, particularly the director of the FBI, sometimes, you know, has to get up on that high wire. In this case, you know, the director of the FBI is no longer on that high wire.
That's a very good point. Ron, thanks so much. We always appreciate your insights as a former director, a former deputy director of the FBI, and now with the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. Thanks for the time.
Great to talk to you, Lars.
You bet. Ron Hoskoe with me. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show. Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Conspiracy Theory Thursday. By the way, tomorrow, First Amendment Friday. Let's go to Parker in Seattle. Parker, thanks for listening on KVI. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Larson. I was just calling actually about two things. So one, a little bit about the James Comey thing today, which has been pretty well covered, I feel like, on your show today. The only thing I really have to say that probably hasn't already been said about that is James Comey said that he had a gut feeling that he needed to write things down when he first met Donald Trump. And honestly, I think he was just intimidated by Donald Trump because he realized this was a man he couldn't get away with things with like he could have with Obama.
Interesting, too, that a guy who's so driven by facts and logic and the law, which I admire, then says, I'm going to go with my gut check. I don't mind gut checks, but you walk in to talk to your new boss, the choice of the American people, and you say, my gut tells me this guy's a liar, and that's how I'm going to proceed in doing my job. That doesn't seem very healthy.
Right. Now, I mean, my dad, he works for the government. He does background checks, and he never, ever goes by gut. He always goes by facts and logic.
Well, I wouldn't even fault your dad if he went a little bit by gut, if he walked in and talked to a man or a woman he was doing a background check on and said, gosh, this person just seems too perfect, or there's something off about. I could get that. But in this case, you know, this is a man who maybe he spends too much time watching CNN. Because the left-wing media will tell you all day long, Trump's a liar. But, Parker, my favorite question to all the people who call this show and say, Trump's a liar. I say, tell me your favorite lie that he's ever told. And most of them can't come up with a single thing. So it means it's a bumper sticker belief and not based on facts. You got the Lars Larson Show.